In March of 1930, a Harrisburg woman suffered the sort of death typically reserved for horror movies or nightmares. But Esther Bland's strange manner of death might have been a mystery if not for a keen-eyed neighbor who noticed an untouched newspaper on the dead woman's doorstep. On the morning of Monday, March 24th, Mrs. Alice Clark grew concerned after noticing that her neighbor had not retrieved from her doorstep the Sunday night edition of the Harrisburg Telegraph. In fact, she hadn't seen or heard from Esther since Friday night. Fearing the worst, Alice went to Esther's home and peeked into the kitchen window of the shabby little house at 1224 Wallace Street. What she saw chilled her blood. A woman's bloody hand, stiff and outstretched, as though pleading for help that never arrived. Terrified, Alice Clark ran screaming for help, and her cries were heard by patrolman Edward Murphy, who raced to the Bland home and battered in the door.
"I'll never forget it," Murphy later recounted. "She must have been sitting on a chair in the dining room."
The patrolman, after breaking down the door, had found 41-year-old Esther Bland fully clothed and sprawled across the kitchen floor. The chair was overturned, and one hand was clutching a slipper. Esther's poodle loyally guarded the woman's body, which had been chewed apart by hundreds of small, razor-like teeth. As for the face, well, it was almost completely missing. Murphy believed the woman had tried to make a desperate lunge for the door when the army of murderous rodents swarmed her. "It was the most horrible sight I ever saw," declared Detective Sergeant Oscar Blau, who arrived at the Bland home to determine if the woman might have been a victim of foul play. "She was literally torn to death by rats. A horrible, horrible death." The detective had heard stories about the rats in the neighborhood, which emerged from the sewers in search of food. He had heard rumors that the sewer rats were as big as cats. He hadn't believed the stories until he viewed Esther Bland's body. "All the doors in the house were locked when Murphy arrived," explained the detective, which ruled out the possibility of murder. "The windows had been securely fastened from the inside, and none of the victim's valuables were missing."
"Never have I seen anything like it," Blau continued. "She couldn't get to the door. She battled them even after she fell, judging by the position of the body on the floor. It was a ghastly sight."
Although he was certain of the nature of Esther's death, Coroner Howard Milliken ordered an autopsy just to be sure. The autopsy was conducted at the Ross Cooper Funeral Home on Elm Street by Dr. R.L. Perkins and Dr. L.S. Witherow. It was discovered that heart failure had caused the woman's death, which is understandable considering the level of stress one must feel while being devoured alive by a pack of ravenous rats. Not everyone was satisfied by the rat theory, however. The owner of the Wallace Street property, a man named Snyder, told reporters that Esther's sister had told him that the poodle had scratched and bitten Esther on previous occasions. The police investigation revealed a small life insurance policy naming a sister, Mrs. Mary Stannard of Steelton, a beneficiary, while another sister, Lulu Brooks, was not named a beneficiary. Some who viewed the rat story with suspicion wondered if the sister who had been left out may have been motivated by jealousy. Authorities scoffed at these rumors, however. There was no bad blood between the sisters, and detectives were fairly certain that it was impossible for one to train rats to attack on command.
"The rats travel in hordes," explained Detective Sergeant Blau. "Neighbors tell us they come out of the sewers in large numbers at night and make a ghastly sight with their gray, lean bodies. There are thousands of cracks and crevices in the house through which the attacking rodents could have poured."
Esther Bland's body was sent to the Boulding Funeral Parlor in Steelton and prepared for burial. Her funeral services were held at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Steelton, and her remains buried at Midland Cemetery.
Pennsylvania Oddities will return after this brief message.
When I want to hear stories about the odd and bizarre, I listen to the Pennsylvania Oddities podcast. But when I want to buy something that's odd and bizarre, I go to www.shopphantasmagoria.com.
Phantasmagoria Antiques and Oddities is an online oddity store showcasing hand-selected items from some of the darker and stranger parts of history.
Phantasmagoria buys and sells rare and unique items from the Victorian era up to the swinging 60s.
From medical oddities and rare books to fine photography, artwork, and one-of-a-kind decor items, Phantasmagoria has got something for every taste, so long as it's a taste for the bizarre.
Visit www.shopphantasmagoria.com and be sure to follow at Phantasmagoria Oddities on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest to stay on top of the new items as they arrive. International shipping is also available.
Phantasmagoria is where I go to add to my own personal collection of oddities, and you should too.
That's www.shopphantasmagoria.com.
Despite the unsanitary conditions of the impoverished, predominantly minority neighborhood, or perhaps because of them, City Health Officer Dr. John M. Ronick stated that he would not hold an investigation into health conditions on Wallace Street.
"I don't know anything about conditions up there," admitted Dr. Ronick to the Harrisburg Telegraph. "I am not going to investigate."
Ironically, Dr. Ronick had been quick to take action 3 years earlier when wealthy white residents living in the sprawling mansions along North Front Street reported rats in their basements. In that case, a renowned pest control specialist, J.L. Nichols of Atlanta, Georgia, was summoned to Harrisburg, where he embarked on a 10-day crusade to rid the waterfront mansions of ravenous rodents. Due to Dr. Ronick's refusal to address the sad state of the city's sewage system, Harrisburg's rat problem continued to put the health of residents, particularly those living in poor and minority neighborhoods, in jeopardy. Numerous letters from angry residents were printed in city newspapers. One such letter was printed less than a year after Esther Bland's gruesome death. George Henry, a resident of North 18th Street, wrote,
"Just last Sunday, my cellar, and also my neighbor's cellars, were filled with filth and water during the storm. Surely something is wrong. This condition of water, filth, mud, and sewer rats getting into our cellars is due to bad sewers."
Not even city officials themselves and their families were immune from the sewer problem. Just a few years earlier, Mrs. Paul Kurzenabe, wife of the city's assistant plumbing inspector, was hospitalized after she had been overcome by fumes leaking into her home from the sewers. H.W. Hammersley, the city plumbing inspector, believed that sewer rats were responsible for causing the leak in the Kurzenabe home. Yet, in the months following Esther Bland's death, City Health Inspector Ronick turned his attention to more important issues, such as requiring the jobless to obtain special health certificates if they wish to sell apples. According to Dr. Ronick, his decision was based on a single case from Philadelphia in which a girl fell ill after buying an apple from an unemployed person. Today, Wallace Street is one of the most run-down, neglected, and impoverished parts of Harrisburg, in a predominantly black part of the city where rats are the least of the residents' problems. One can only wonder, however, if Wallace Street would be a better, happier place today if city officials had taken action after the death of Esther Bland, the unfortunate Harrisburg woman who was eaten alive by hordes of hungry, razor-fanged sewer rats.
If you enjoyed this podcast, pick up a copy of my newest book, Pennsylvania Oddities, Volume 3, available now at www.sunburypress.com. Volume 3 features 30 remarkable but true stories from every corner of the Keystone State. And be sure to visit my blog, paoddities.blogspot.com,
for over 600 bizarre tales of murder and mystery from the colonial era to the present day. The Pennsylvania Oddities podcast is written, produced, and narrated by Marlon Bressy. Theme music composed by Marlon Bressy. Sound effects courtesy of freesound.org. Listen to the Pennsylvania Oddities podcast on Anchor, Breaker, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and anywhere else you find your favorite program. New episodes on the 1st and 15th of every month. Bye-bye.